one of them, a lady, came forward and she looked at me and she said, "I know you." And I was encouraged. And then she said, "Greenwood Hills." I was encouraged some more. She said, "I recognized your jacket." These things actually happened to me. I went home and told my wife, and she said, "You got to get a new jacket." But we can say goodbye today and look forward, if the Lord be not come, to coming back next year. And I was real pleased to hear that Claude Poole would be, again, our recreation director and song leader and all those kind of things, because being of a very serious... I don't like too many public jokes, and believe me, Claude doesn't tell any. He tries. Would you turn to Psalm 1 for a few moments, and I will not detain the meeting. And in Psalm 1 we read these words concerning the blessed man. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. We've been looking at third day, third time experiences, all through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And we have also reminded ourselves that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I would just like this morning to kind of have a simple devotion on this threefold cord situation, especially in the book of the Psalms. Or I should say the books of the Psalms, because the books of the Psalms are five, and each one corresponds with a book in the Pentateuch. From Psalms 1 through 41, you have a parallel to the book of Genesis. From Psalms 42 through 72, you have a parallel to the book of Exodus. In Psalm 73 through 89, you have a parallel to the book of the sanctuary, Leviticus. In Psalms 90 to 106, you have the parallel to the book of Numbers, the wilderness journeyings. And then finally, in book 5, from 107 to the end, we have the parallel to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book of review. It not only is a book of review, but it looks into the future as well. And this is the plan of God. He starts with man. He redeems man. He brings man into his secret place in the tabernacle, in the sanctuary. He leads him through the wilderness as a shepherd would lead his sheep. And then there's the end of the road, the review. And having completed the review, we enter into God's eternal rest. One of the interesting things about these books of the Psalms is that there are so many that divide up or gather together rather in books, groups of three. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And the first of these threes, and we'd just like to touch on some of them, the first of these threes is three men. And in Psalm 1, we have the Psalm of the delightful man. Why is he delightful? Because he delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The things that introduce this psalm are things that are negative. This man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He isn't a super critic. He isn't a cynic, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Of course, there's only one person that could fit entirely into this psalm, and that's the person of Christ. This is a person that God could roll back the heavens on three occasions, and there again we have the threefold cord. Three occasions he opens the heavens and cries out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight." And so in the first we have this the moral glory of the man, Christ Jesus. The servant of God said to God himself, "Show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness to pass before you." That's the glory of God, his goodness. And he sent his beloved Son in his goodness, in his grace, in his love. And John could record, could he not? "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Behold the Lamb of God. The word is more than just look. It contemplates meditation. Behold the Lamb of God. We had a brother years ago, used to lead the singing up in our part of the country quite a bit. And when we would sing that hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," he would ask us to sing one verse this way: "Take time to behold him." And of course, if we take the time to meditate, to behold, to contemplate the moral glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, why, we'll emulate him in his life. But notice, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Leafy, green, alive, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. What a wonderful thing to bring forth fruit to the glory of God. "And then his leaf also shall not wither." There'll always be refreshment and shade under that tree. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Lord Jesus Christ said, in spite of all of our failures, in spite of all of our differences, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." We can rest on that. He will build his church. Sometimes we make a shambles of it. Sometimes we bring disgrace upon it. "But whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and he shall build his church." In the second psalm, we have the majestic glory of this same person, because God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And here we have this majesty and the monarchical glory of our beloved Savior. He says, God says, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. What a privilege, what a blessing to be associated with this one in his majestic glory. You also have in this first psalm the delightful man. In Psalm 2, you have a defiant man. You have, why do the heathen rage? The nations imagine a vain thing. The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves. Here we have the natural man and all of his defiance of God. But then we see the designated man in the verses that we have already touched upon. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We're on the winning side. Sometimes things do not look as though we're on the winning side, but we are. And then in Psalm 3, we have there the dependent man. And we can be absolutely dependent upon the grace of God, the guidance of God, the goodness of God. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up. But he says in verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. And the last verse, but salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. It's good to be dependent. A couple of us were speaking of it during this past week, that too often we come to the point where there's a problem and we say, well, we've done everything we can, maybe we better pray about it. That should have been first, shouldn't it? We need to lay hold upon God immediately for wisdom, for grace, for courage. Dependent men and women, dependent upon him for everything that we need in life. That we talk about living by faith, and we expect the man that we've commended to the mission field or to the work at home, we expect him to live by faith. But should we not all be living by faith? Yeah. We should all be living by faith. We can work up a tidy little backdrop of material things, and God can wipe them out in no time at all. Leave us absolutely destitute if he wished. And so we need to live by faith and to expect him to supply our every need. I'd like to look at the 22nd and 23rd and 24th chapters of this first book of the Psalms. And in Psalm 22, we have a hill. In Psalm 24, we have another hill. And in Psalm 23, we have the valley in between. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And the apostle says, yea, though I walk through, not into, but through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. I've told this many times, and I'll tell it again. They called me when my father was dying, and I went to see him and try to be cheery about it, you know. And I said, Dad, a couple of days rest, and we'll have you up on your feet as good as new. And he said, no, son, I'm finished. And I thought he was hallucinating. So I said to him, "Do you really mean it?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I'm all done. I'm ready to go." So I began to quote one of his favorite psalms, and I couldn't. And he finished it for me. He said, "Death's door is waiting to be ushered into eternity." The confidence he was passing through, not into, the valley of death. And I pray that God would give me a confidence like that at the end of the road. In Psalm 22, we have the cross. In Psalm 23, we have the four, we have the crown. And in between, we have the shepherd's crook, guiding us, leading us, once in a while, giving us a poke with a stick in order to keep us in line. In Psalm 22, we have the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. In Psalm 23, we have the Psalm of the Great Shepherd. In Psalm 24, we have the Psalm of the Chief Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, why, that's explained for us in the New Testament, isn't it? The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Psalm 22 begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalm 23, we have the Great Shepherd. Peter speaks of that great shepherd of the sheep. Why? Because he rose from the dead. And he knows how to lead us through the wilderness. And in Psalm 24, that was rather from Hebrews, the great shepherd, but in Psalm 24 we have Peter's remarks regarding the chief shepherd, when the chief shepherd shall appear. It's good to be an under-shepherd, to have somebody that you can just shepherd along the road. I thank God as I look back over the years, and especially to my youth, how many simple men just put their arm around my shoulder and helped me, guided me. They became under-shepherds. And we need to be under-shepherds. Take somebody under your wing, a Sunday school class, or an individual, or a group, and be under-shepherds. Because, remember what Peter said, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall give you a crown. Nice to wear a crown. Better yet, to have a crown to lay at his feet as a trophy of our love. In Psalm 19, 20, and 21, you have another threefold cord that is not quickly broken. You have the glory of the Lord revealed in Psalm 19. How does it begin? It begins with the heavens and the earth declaring the glory of God, and the firmament showing his handiwork. And then in Psalm 20, we have grace displayed. In Psalm 20, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners and fulfill all thy, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And then in Psalm 21 we have guidance, God's guidance. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. These are just a few. In Psalm 37 and 38 and 39, Psalm 37 tells us to fret not. Don't fret over things. Sometimes we fret over the slightest provocation. We're upset, we're disturbed, and God says to us, don't fret about it. His purposes will ripen and his will be done. And then in Psalm 38 we have an exhortation to faint not. Don't faint along the road. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The alternative of fainting is praying. The alternative of praying is fainting. And then in Psalm 39, we have the fire burning. This man, he's not fretting, he's not fainting, he's meditating. And he said, while I mused, the fire burned. It's nice to have the fire burn. It's nice to sit under the sound of teaching by men who have applied themselves to the Word of God, but it's also a pure delight to sit and let the fire burn and have the Spirit of God give you something fresh for yourself. And so we have the fire burning in Psalm 39. Psalms 84, 5, and 6, we have God's presence enjoyed. What does he say? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. As we said the other day, I feel sorry for the man or the woman who says to God in effect, maybe not in so many words, but by the attitude, an hour in the presence of your beloved Son is boring. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. Think of the tabernacle. Everything in it, everything in it spoke of Christ and the church. You came to the burnt offering, and there was the sacrifice, speaking of Christ. You went to the labor, and you washed your feet, and there was the Word of God. You went inside, and the first thing you noticed is that it wasn't dark, it was light. The Spirit of God enlightening us from the Word of God. There was a table there with bread on it. Food for the soul, food for the body, but we find food for the soul. And then, of course, there was also the altar of incense where we can offer our prayers and praises. They rise in sweet perfume to God. Don't worry about whether or not we get the language proper. Let's let our hearts overflow. A man got saved. He had no background, no spiritual background at all, no Bible training. He came to the Lord's Supper. He heard men getting up and very ably offering Christ back to God in their worship. This dear man couldn't stand it any longer, and he stood up and he said, "Oh God, what a Christ." And the whole assembly was melted to tears. Their hearts were just welled over with the sincerity and the beauty of this man, because he was enjoying the tabernacles of God. And so we have in Psalm 84 God's presence enjoyed, and then in Psalm 85 we have God's presence explained. We need to think about this. Why should God visit us? Why should we be able to lay claim to the words of our Lord Jesus that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst? Well, it's explained because he said there is forgiveness with thee. And then we have God's presence expected. The psalmist calls upon God, the audacity of this man. He calls upon God and he says, "Bow down your ear. I got something to tell you. I have a request to make." God's presence expected. wonder if we expect God's presence. I wonder if we expect God's blessing. We can if we'll meditate day and night in His Word, and if we'll emulate the person of the Christ unfolding every grace, once dead, but now alive again. In heaven, He demands our praise. Shall we pray? Our Father in God, we bless Thee for Thy Word, for the wonder of it, for the makeup of it. Help us to be more diligent in our contemplation of it and our meditation of it, so that we, in turn, in a measure, will be as trees planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth our fruit in season, with leaves that will not wither, but will go on renewing the inward man from day to day, to the glory and praise of the Son of Thy love. Dismiss us with Thy blessing, our God. Take us on our journeys in safety. And we pray Thy blessing upon Greenwood Hills, that Thou wilt prosper that which Thy servants have set out to do. Glorify our beloved Savior. We ask these favors in His holy name. Amen.